Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If, though, this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. Every profession needs its heroes, the people who have the courage to challenge convention, drive outstanding achievement, and give the discipline a noble name. In this episode, we'll be speaking in depth to one such hero, learn about what they did, what they do, and how they got here. A bit more about what's made them who they are today. I'm delighted to be joined today by the MD of Everything Connected Content Marketing, Scott McLean. Scott, welcome to our podcast.
Oh, thank you, Dave. It's a joy to be back.
It's good to have you back. So where do we find you for this interview today?
As so often, working from home. It's something I've been doing for nearly a decade, Dave. And okay. Whilst we have an office in London, I often find myself most comfortably working from home.
Well, that sounds great. So you must tell us then a bit about what your business does. What is Everything Connected Content Marketing?
Well, Everything Connected Content Marketing is a division of Everything Connected. And Everything Connected is an agency which does digital experience and marketing services, which, to break that down, is everything from web development through to lead generation and conversion marketing. So that's where we specialize. As the MD of the content marketing piece, I both lead and deliver on the content side, but also increasingly, as we expand into marketing services, are driving forward that work as well.
Okay. So I've got to ask then, given your focus on content marketing, what is it that you enjoy about it?
So content is the key connection between any engagement a business has with its prospect or customer. So fundamentally, I enjoy about content marketing is the fact that you can actually drive that return on marketing investment when you pull a content strategy together, which is directly linked to the marketing objectives of the business. We're not just creating content for content's sake, we're creating content which is all about how do you go from initial engagement through to that magical conversion of a lead. And, it's the ability to drive that sort of value, which basically gets me up in the morning and makes it all worthwhile.
But the way that you talk about it sounds really, really easy. So I'm intrigued. And what are the kind of typical challenges you face in this space?
So do you know what? There's lots of challenges. And it's rarely about the content itself. It's more about trying to be clear about what the objectives are of the businesses we're working with so that we are driving the value that they require. So obviously we take, as you'd expect, a very audience-centric approach in our strategy. So, and we're linking that to what is it that is going to drive the most value for the business at that point in time. And by the way, that's why I'm being very careful to say value for the business at that point in time. It's easy to sort of say sales.
Yeah,
that's not often what a business has necessarily got as its top priority. It could be building the foundation layer for future success. It could be dipping its toe in a test and learn capacity in, you know, social or digital for the first time. So there could be a whole variety of different ways in which a business can perceive value. And what we're doing is, and what we find challenging, is to understand what is it that they need from marketing and therefore the content to drive that marketing, to drive that value at any given time. So yeah, I mean, often when we start with a client, it's how can we in the first quarter of working, make sure that we are showcasing internally that the investment that they are making and planning to make is going to drive business value. Yes. So we might be doing things initially, which you wouldn't if you were to write it down as a theory, as a kind of professor of marketing isn't where you'd start, but internally it's where you need to start.
Okay. Because that buy-in, I guess, is all important in terms of it sounds like this is a long-term project of work that an organization would want to entail, engage you with, and therefore actually getting them on board at the start is key.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, when you want to build out a content strategy, we have an approach which we call a conversion engine, and that conversion engine is all about how you bring together content, creative, inbound, outbound, to drive leads, not just through the funnel to convert, but you're actually also taking the buyer through the journey at the same time, and you're bringing those two elements together. If a business, and it often is the case, hasn't even got their foundation layer in place, so doesn't necessarily have a, for example, HubSpot set up or even bought, etc., you're going to be on a year, 18-month, two-year journey to get them from the very beginning to the very end. That's the big challenge, is understanding, you know, where you want to take them, understanding what you need to do at each phase on the journey to meet the internal requirements as much as to drive the sales and return that they're looking for. So it's that balancing act.
Got it. So look, a really exciting job. How on earth did you get here? Can you take us through the kind of key steps in your career journey that got you to this place?
Yeah, I think there's, well, it's quite straightforward. I started as a journalist, as you do. And that got
one of the things behind the question. There's not a natural kind of line, or at least an obvious straight line from A to B.
No, there never is for anybody, is there? Look, I started in journalism, and that obviously got me into the world of content. I did my stint on the locals, had a great time. You know, that was 2000, 2001. You know, interviewed Tony Blair three times during the general election, etc. Then I went to the Daily Mail. Everybody now on the podcast is hissing. And I did that for six.
I might have to turn the sound down.
Did that for 6 months and somehow realized that maybe journalism wasn't all that I was after in life. Enjoyed it immensely. And actually, as a way to start one's career, journalism, I think you would struggle to do better than journalism. It throws you into the mix of society and everything from business through to people in ways that you just don't think you could get elsewhere.
Yeah.
Doesn't pay much, but it's, you know, it's a lot of fun. Not great for your liver either, but that's a different story. And I went from there into PR, which I found quite ironic, really, given I was on the Daily Mail. People used to call it in journalism, turning to PR, turning to the dark side. And I was going from the Mail into PR. So read into that what you will. And I did PR in a B2B tech agency, a brilliant tech agency called Hotwire. And from that went into corporate PR. And that for me was then the kind of the start of a tipping point into how I've ended up in content marketing today. Because in doing that journey, I realized that as wonderful as PR is, especially when you're doing crisis PR and so on, in terms of driving returns for a business where they can perceive the value, actually, I was getting increasingly frustrated by the fact that we were generating audiences, but largely, and bear in mind, this is over a decade ago, largely nothing was being done by the client with those audiences. They were just satisfied that you'd engaged, they'd read the content, they'd been, you know, gathered into a content hub or something, but they were doing nothing with it. And that just became increasingly frustrating for me. I could not get my head around the fact that there was this typical disconnect back then between comms and marketing, even if it all sat under a single person right up at the top. So that then led me, I'd already done a CMO role at a startup during that period, that led me to sort of sit there and working with someone else you know very well, Ali Richards, to then sit back and say, right, actually, let's think about this more carefully. Mm. If we're engaging people through content, and PR is just a channel for doing that, what do we actually want to do with that engagement next? So if you've got, for example, this is where PR can play really well, if you've got some thought leadership out there, people are engaged with it. How are you going to take them from thought leadership to a sale? And what's that journey actually look like? And what's the role of content? And then the marketing technologies, and then obviously latterly to that, channels, etc. How do you take people on that journey? And that is what took me from there, 9 years, 10 years later, to where I am today, and the approach that we take to actually answer all those questions.
And where do you think the organizations that you're typically engaging with, where are they themselves on that journey? Are you finding that actually you've got to go back to the very rudiments of explaining, kind of as you have there, really, you know, that actually if you don't do something with that information, it's just kind of sitting there? Do they need their eyes opening to that, or are you finding that they're aware of that and maybe already on the journey?
I'm going to give you two answers to that. So the first answer is, we spent most of the last 9 years beating down doors to try to get people to understand that challenge.
Yeah.
Then we found in the last 3 or 4 years, and accelerated by lockdowns, that suddenly we were having people knocking on our door saying, hang on, this buyer journey thing you're talking about, we need some of that, because actually all we're doing is targeting our buyers at the very end of their journey, and our conversions are, you know, our conversion percentages are not moving an iota year on year. So we need to get better at joining this up and doing more. We work with, for example, British Telecom with exactly that. And they came to us with exactly that challenge. And we're working with their marketing innovation team on that, which is incredibly enjoyable and rewarding. So that's part one of the answer. Part two of the answer is, having kind of worked through it, buttoned down the theory, got ourselves to a place where we can execute seamlessly, we now just roll it out to new clients as absolute norm. So if a business comes to us and they are in a place where they know they need to use marketing to drive sales, but they don't necessarily know what that needs to look like, or to drive leads into their sales team, which is more commonly the objective, then we just apply this as a matter of course. We don't browbeat them with the theory. We just crack on and do it. Okay. knowing that it will work. And, you know, we bake it in to this conversion engine approach, which, to break it down and keep it really simple, is lead acquisition and conversion. That's what the model is all about. And making sure that we're doing it in a way where, once you've got the engine up and going, it just builds and builds and builds to actually generate over time, you know, a really efficient model of generating marketing qualified leads or more, depending on what the brief is.
So would I be right, therefore, in kind of inferring from that what's changed over the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, has been your confidence in your product, both in terms of what it is and the way that you market it, more than necessarily the environment that you're playing into?
I would definitely agree with the former, because one of the things we did do over our journey was, we stopped treating buyer journeys in splendid isolation. We actually sat back and went, no, buyer journeys, it's just part of the marketing mix. It may not be something that businesses are doing well, or indeed at all, but that doesn't mean that it should somehow be something splendidly isolated over here. Don't get me wrong, we still get businesses like BT come to us and say, look, just help us with buyer journeys. Yeah. Fine. Other than that, we just apply it as part of our standard model. But the other thing I would say, which I found interesting, is that we have definitely found that more and more businesses are turning to us to say, look, we've never actually done marketing service, you know, marketing for lead generation properly as a business. You know, we've done a bit of social, we've done some brand, we've done, you know, but we've never actually used marketing as a lead, as a focused program of lead generation, which is astounding in some respects, because surely that's what we as marketeers have been doing for years and years. So why is it that so many businesses still haven't got a marketing infrastructure in place, still haven't got a program of work where they're using marketing to be part of the lead and revenue generating process.
And do you have an answer for that?
I think the answer is almost certainly that in a world now where sales is dominated by digital engagement, that the need for marketing to drive that digital engagement post-lockdown and through the lockdowns has become acute. There's just the sales teams especially have lost a lot of their channels that they used to rely on to drive business. And they're sitting there hungry for leads to be able to convert. And suddenly marketing's, in my opinion, I'm happy to be shot down or have other people say otherwise, I think marketing's been taken a lot more seriously now.
We'll ask you to share your contact details a bit later on so the people can shoot you down if they want to. So
yeah, it's fine. Won't be the first time, Dave.
We have a nice audience. You don't need to worry. That's kind of the past and a bit of the present. What about the future? Where do you see this going over the next 10 years?
I'm really clear on where it's going over the next 10 years. I think it is about having a mature model for lead generation, which is fully aligned with return on investment, so that you can literally, as a business, say, I was going to make up numbers. Let's not pin ourselves down. It's just for pure example. If I invest £500,000 into marketing, I am going to get that times, you know, my expected return in sales, and I know that I can rely upon it. I would then build upon that, by the way, in a number of different ways, because that's obviously just a financial return. I believe that with this model, as we've shown in a lot of our clients, that we're able to enrich the sales process exponentially, so that we're feeding in data into the CRM system, which means that when they are picking up the phone to the client, it's not just, oh, I've got a first name, last name, and an email address. I know the type of persona they are. I know the buyer needs, which are actually triggered through the content consumption. I know how to engage with this customer. Yeah. I know where they are in the journey. I know what they're, broadly speaking, looking for. Oh, and by the way, if they don't buy, I can rely on marketing to help nurture that prospect who may not be ready to buy today, but could still be a customer in 6 months, 18 months time. And I can work with marketing in a fully aligned way to drive things forward. That is where I believe we are going. I know in some businesses they're already there, which is fantastic, but I don't believe that's the case for the majority. And I believe that's where the next sort of 3 to 5 years we'll see more and more businesses arrive to as their kind of destination. But as per a comment earlier, that's not built overnight. You know, to get that sort of model in place, you're talking 18 months, 2 years of investment. As I say, not just in money, but in time and capability and capacity to actually get, and training and education to get to that point.
This does tie very neatly with the story that you were talking about at the top of this interview in terms of actually needing to find some kind of quick wins internally in order to kind of keep people on the journey. Is that one of the reasons why businesses haven't really focused on this space in the past? It's kind of the typical thing that, you know, actually there are big wins, but actually it won't be on my watch and therefore I don't engage.
Fundamentally, yes. Plus, let's be honest, a lot of territorial elbows out, you know.
It was
all just me. Can't possibly have had anything to do with you marketing. Yeah, and you know, you come on, you're smiling. You know that's how we've all seen that.
My job's to be an impartial interviewer here.
Yes, of course. But that having been said, I think if you have a machine in place, an engine which is just constantly working and constantly generating this, then yes. As I just said earlier, as you just pointed out, you've got to get that confidence through the early wins by understanding. But once you've got that confidence, then you can build the trust and then you can start breaking down those barriers, as we've done with clients, to actually just mean you're all working seamlessly towards the same common goal, and not fighting over territory. But my goodness, that still uncovers lots of other problems, like the right technology and the, you know, dirty data, and oh my goodness, I mean, it goes on and on, doesn't it? But you know, nothing's, if it was easy, we'd all, you know, everyone would be doing it, right?
Is there some kind of recommended reading that you have to kind of help people through the miasma of hurdles on this journey?
Well, I mean, so the easiest reading is to ask us for a proposal. I'm joking. I'm going to point out a book which I read recently, which I would encourage people to go to good old Amazon and have a perusal of. So it's by an American called Marcus Sheridan. It's got quite a long title. It's called They Ask, You Answer, A Revolutionary Approach to Inbound Sales, Content Marketing, and Today's Digital Consumer. I mean, I think he could have done a snappier title, but nevertheless, there's a lot of, we've actually made it sort of required reading within our agency, and we've all got these post-it notes throughout it and points, because it's just, it's got that kind of feeling of today within it, yeah, that somebody is actually facing into where we are today and putting forward solutions, not just theory and examples of how things are done. And it's, you know, and it's a good, genuinely good business read.
Cool, thank you. And if people want to find out more, maybe reach out for a proposal from Everything Connected Content Marketing, what should they do?
Well, I mean, the easiest thing to do is just to get in touch. But look, I think the thing I would say about any sort of look at any agency is, you know, you've got to be really clear on what you want first and what your objectives are. And, you know, definitely reach out, but expect to be quizzed hard about what you want and what your objectives are, because you know, that's all important.
Yeah, at least part of that long-term journey is actually arriving at your objectives in the first place, I suppose.
100%. Yeah.
Scott, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you very much, Dave.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Scott McLean, and thanks to our technical person, Alicia Gratian. Thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk.